Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
Salchi and Grasso with you here on NBRFM, and our next guest is Tina Stromstedt. Hello, Tina.
Hi, Sal. Thank you.
It's great to speak with you. Tina is the owner at Souls Body Center, based in San Francisco. And Tina, we like to start right off the bat by giving folks a way for them to get in contact with you. So if you wouldn't mind, again, relaying your website information, any social media, phone, email.
Sure. Thank you. My website address is my name. It's TinaStromstedt.com. So that's TinaStromstedt.com. My phone, if you want to go that way, is 415-668-7857. I have a business Facebook page that I think people can access, Tina Stromstedt, PhD.
Excellent, Tina. And just if you could, just for the sake of background, a little information about your what you do there at Souls Body Center in San Francisco, some of the educational background you've had and so forth, just to set the stage for today's discussion.
Oh, thank you. Okay. There are basically, I would say that my work is integrative because no one, well, as they say, no one size fits all. No one way of working suits every person. People are really unique, and that's part of what's beautiful about it. So I don't think there's any formula particularly. Medically, you might follow, you know, specific kinds of things to address certain kinds of issues in the body. But working with things psychologically and emotionally and spiritually is a little more of an intuitive process that also involves a lot of training. So specifically, my master's and my PhD degrees are in psychology, and I went on to do postdoctoral work at the C.G. Jung Center here in San Francisco. That's based on the work of Carl Jung, who was a Swiss psychiatrist who passed away in 1961, who worked very deeply with the unconscious. And a lot of people know him through Joseph Campbell's work with mythology. They might not know that the some of the big personality tests are based on his work. So words like extroversion, introversion, superiority complex, inferiority complex, thinking, feeling, intuitive types, all of that comes from Jung's work. So he was interested not only in the symptoms that you came in with, the problems that were really difficult, but also some of the deeper things that were going on in the psyche that had to do with profound patterns that got set up early in our life among family members or within a particular cultural group that shapes us in a certain way or within our religious group or what we call the zeitgeist, the spirit of the times that you grew up in. All of those will have an impact on how someone forms. And so he looked to people's dreams. And he also looked, and many people don't know this about him, to the body and what was trying to be expressed that way, in a natural way. And following in his footsteps, a number of dance therapists who draw from Jung's work have continued that work and really focused on the work with the body. So I work in a way that integrates the body, that integrates dreams, including something called authentic movement, Marion Woodman's body-soul rhythms work, somatic psychology, and the creative arts. These are all ways to be able to listen for signals coming up from deeper layers of the self that want to be known and that want to help in the healing process through writing, drawing, music, movement. And I also do regular talk therapy. So some people come and we sit in chairs and they share their stories with me and their troubles and I work with them verbally. But over time I say, you know, it seems that your body might be trying to tell us something about this issue. Would you like to listen into that as well? Or have you had any dreams? Or might you be able to draw how you're feeling right now? or draw that discomfort you're experiencing in your body if they're dealing with a symptom. So I'll pause there. That's kind of some of the ingredients mm-hmm. that we work with.
Now, you talked earlier about, you mentioned authentic movement. Exactly what is that? Is that like a form of dance, of a free form, or just, you know, different, you know, exercise-type moves? I mean, explain to us, if you would, the basis of authentic movement. Is it something anybody can do at home? How does it work?
Those are great questions. Well, in many ways, all movement is authentic, meaning it has its own spirit. There are, to give a little background, there are movements we do that we practice. We learn to walk. You know, well, first we learn to roll over. We learn to crawl. We learn to walk. We learn to run. We learn to skip and ride bicycles, and all these things that we learn as we grow that help us develop, you know, from infancy to childhood to adulthood. Somewhere along the line, we start moving in more habituated ways. Ways that we're used to, or ways that we use to just get things done, to get from A to B, or we learn movements that help us perform our job or perform a certain sports activity, you know, like martial arts or soccer or football or what have you. And in dance, it's the same in that in one form of dance, modern, ballet, African, many kinds, you learn steps. You learn them by heart after a while through repeating a certain choreography. And you watch your teacher or your coach performing those moves, and you try them on your own body. And then after a while, you get it, more or less, so that you can do it, and you can perform them, or you can just do it for your own enjoyment in dance classes. Same with yoga, all of those things. You take a movement from the outside, and you teach it to your body. So these are movements you've received from other people. They're not necessarily movements that you've come up with naturally. So by authentic movement, which is also another term for active imagination in movement, or movement in depth, so it's a Jungian form of dance therapy, there are two people, or it can happen in groups, in an analytic or therapy situation, I'm the witness and my client is the mover. And after stretching and warming up a little bit and talking about what is troubling them or what their issues are or what's happening in a dream or a body symptom they're struggling with, you can use almost anything to begin the work. They close their eyes. And they listen to their body. And they listen to the languages of the body. So those might be sensations that are happening, like how deeply am I breathing or not? Or do I feel a tingling in my body? Or do I feel butterflies in my belly? Or warmth in my heart? Or itchy or excited? You know, do I feel an emotion? I guess excitement would be more. Do I feel sad? Do I feel angry or irritated? Do I feel loving? Do I feel sensual or silly? You know, or am I, as I close my eyes, am I seeing an image? Might be part of a memory. Or it might be a new creative image or an image from a dream. So when you close your eyes, you have an opportunity not to learn something from the outside so much anymore, but to find out who's home, what's happening in your body, and to follow that. So you let yourself kind of soften and surrender. I often say, in this practice, my body is my teacher, and I am the student.
You're learning from the inside?
Learning from the inside out, and the movement begins to move you from the inside out. So there's no agenda or goal or choreography. You're beginning to get interested in the little movement impulses. Like as I'm talking, I can feel my toes moving on my right foot. They're kind of excited, and they're just moving around a little bit. And if I didn't take a moment to notice that, I probably wouldn't be aware as I was talking to you and paying attention to what we're saying. I really wouldn't be attuned to the fact that my toes are saying, I love this work. It's exciting. You know, I'd be very focused on the words and what I'm thinking. And that's okay, but that's only part of the story. Because we often come into therapy or analysis thinking certain things about ourselves. I'm this kind of a I'm a good person, I'm a bad person, I'm an anxious person, you know, or the critic gets a hold of us and we hear judgmental thoughts. And we don't necessarily give ourselves the time to tune into something fresh that's inside, that is really what's happening in us, rather than what we were told about ourselves or what we came to, who we came to think we were from the outside.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
To someone who does not feel comfortable dancing, are they suppressing these feelings?
I think they come out naturally in different ways.
Uh-huh.
So just, you know, if you're sitting or standing right where you are, you might notice that your breath is fuller or more or less full in different parts of the body. You might notice fingers moving or your head turning. This is as natural as night and day. You know, Martha Graham, who was one of the great modern dancers, and she was a teacher, a primary teacher for Mary Whitehouse, the grandmother of authentic movement. Martha Graham said, movement never lies. It is a barometer telling the state of the soul's weather to all who can read it. So it might be a little like watching your cat or your dog, meaning that's nature at play. So, for example, I have two cats. They sleep when they need to. We humans don't always do that. They stretch out and they get about a mile long, you know, when they're really comfortable. They leap, they play, they twitch when they're dreaming. So do we, as it turns out. So they're just naturally expressing things that are going on. We have learned to hold ourselves, to hold back our feelings, to press our tongue to the roof of the mouth, to stop ourselves from saying certain things. Unless we blurt it out, and of course there's a lot of that happening now too. So we've learned to control ourselves, and we need a certain amount of that, you know, to filter. Am I going to say everything to everybody all at once, you know? Or am I going to hold that a little bit and see what I'm really feeling and work with it myself a little bit before I share it? So if you touch into your movement, it will tell you, am I stiff? Am I excited? Do I feel playful? You know,
right.
Am I nervous? Is there a laugh that's beginning to bubble up? And the witness is the person in the room who sits and is holding the space, if you will. So while the mover is moving with their eyes closed, just to return to authentic movement for a moment, the witness is sitting quietly to the side of the space, with her or his eyes open, tracking what the mover is doing and also tracking their own response in their own body. So they're seeing literally that you're stretching out on the floor and then you're getting to your knees and then you're slowly rising to standing. And they remember that. You might not remember it because it starts to come naturally at first. And then they notice, as you rolled and kneeled and stood up and maybe opened your arms and stretched backwards and let go of a deep breath, the witness might feel, ah, I feel a sense of relief as I see you do this. Or I feel a sense of joy. Or I don't feel an emotion, but I began to breathe more deeply. Because our bodies pick up on what is being shared by someone else's body. Those are the mirror neurons in the brain, or we call it embodied empathy, where if we're open and sensitive and interested in the other, we're impacted by what they're feeling, hopefully. And even if we shut down, we're impacted. If we're in the room with people who are upset or anxious, our body feels that. Mm-hmm. And we think, why am I feeling a little nervous? I wasn't feeling that. But if, as a therapist, you can feel a little bit of that in your own body while you're working with someone, it might give you some clues about what they might be feeling that you can explore with them.
Tina, I'd like to just interrupt you here. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, I do have a question for you.
Great.
Some people, I'm going back to dancing now, they're so natural, they're so fluid, they're so graceful. What does that say with authentic movement? Does that mean they're in better touch with themselves? Can we get into that after the break?
Sure.
Okay, and we will be right back after this.
Are you in need of a lifestyle change? Body Bliss by Jess can help. Jess is a certified holistic health coach with a simple, undiet approach that focuses on delicious foods, daily movement, hormone balance, and self-care. Her mission is to help you find a lifestyle where you can still enjoy the foods you love, fall in love with new ones, and never feel restricted again. For more info, check her out online, www.bodyblissbyjess.com. Give her a call at 503-351-9751 or email her, jess@bodyblissbyjess.com. And don't forget to check out her Instagram at bodyblissbyjess. Body Bliss by Jess. Real life, real results.
On a Cape Cod shore, 16 striped bass fish and a horseshoe crab were found dead, killed by a harmful algal bloom. The town blamed excessive lawn fertilizer for polluting the water. They restricted lawn fertilizing to once a year. The state overruled, mandating five times a year. Though the striped bass died on a Falmouth shore, fertilizer pollution is a national problem, clogging our waterways. If you believe in our rights to clean water and beaches, if you want to stop the killing of fish by excessive fertilizer, please join with us. Make a donation for responsible stewardship. Acting together, we can have clean beaches and more fish. Please visit www.donateforoceans.org. That is www.donate4oceans.org.
Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
And we are back with Tina Stromstedt, the owner at Souls Body Center in San Francisco. And Tina today is talking about something she's calling authentic movement, and we've been talking about this for the first half of the show. And I had a question for her about really very graceful, natural dancers. How does that relate to authentic movement? What does that say about them?
Well, a couple of things. You know, I think some people are naturally more excited about movement. They love to move. They love to dance. They love to play sports, to swim, to garden. You know, we all move. We're moving all the time. So part of how I help people reframe, oh, I can't dance, or oh, I'm not graceful, oh, that makes me anxious, is that they are already moving all the time in their life. You know, movement starts with breath. That's the smallest dance that we're doing constantly. And it fluctuates. So modern dancers, ballet dancers, professional dancers are trained. They start with a love of movement, and then they go to a lot of classes, and they begin to either release more of their inhibitions and get more graceful with their sweeping arms. They get encouraged by their teachers to open up, to breathe, to ground themselves. But some of them get a little stiffer. They start to feel that they have to perform to be good enough. And they kind of lose touch with more of their natural feelings. You know, so they might pose a lot, or they might move in certain ways that, you know, like models are trained to move on the runway. That's very specific movement. It's not natural movement.
Right.
So sometimes I get people referred to me, dancers, from the San Francisco Ballet, and the ballerinas will say, great, among other things, you're a dance therapist. Okay, I get to come and dance. But for them, they're so used to performing that I often say, you know what? How about if we start with something a little different? How about if we start with relaxation? So they begin to drop into their body and just feel what's actually going on. How about if you draw something about how you're feeling? How about if we try something called authentic movement? Let me share a little bit about this with you. And I really try to help them feel safe, as I do with everyone who comes. But the thing is, the ballet dancers or any other form of trained dancers are not usually referred to me until there's an injury, until they're having trouble dancing. Otherwise, they just keep going. And don't we all, in a way, until there's a problem? And when they come and they begin to slow down, I find out it's not only that twisted ankle, you know, or a hamstring that's too pulled, or whatever it may be, but in fact, there's also an eating disorder that was kept quiet because there was shame and upset about it, or there's a depression, or there's real difficulty in their family, or they don't feel they can keep up with their school and their dance training. You know, so they have a lot of anxiety. So if I were to just let them come in and dance, they would wow me. They would be graceful. They would be incredible. They would be hobbled a little bit because of the injury, and not everyone comes in only with injuries. But these would be the very graceful dancers. And they have very deep feelings that don't often surface until they're given permission to stop performing.
Mm. Right. So in other words, they learn steps, but it's not their authentic movement.
Right.
Got it. Okay, so then, you know, oftentimes I'll speak with folks on the air and they'll give us ideas about breathing techniques. I realize it might be more difficult with movement, but what could you tell people that may want to try something at home that will help them get a better sense of their bodies and ways to get back in contact with themselves?
That's a really beautiful question, and it's something that we all have the opportunity to do. I think, first of all, just taking a pause when we get anxious and there's more anxiety going on right now in our political climate and our ecological environment, you know, given a lot of domestic things that are happening that are very difficult. There are a lot of good things, too, but anxiety pays, the evolutionary survival part of the brain pays attention to danger and makes us anxious because that's what saved our lives in the past and does. And so to say, let's slow down. How about if we just pause? And let's just say you're in your own home, and you can just take a moment and let your spine just rest on the back of your chair and your feet on the floor, and you can begin to feel your pelvis being held by the chair, the biggest set of bones in the body that really cradle all of our vital, or so many of our vital organs, so that you can begin to settle and greet yourself in your own body. And maybe put your hand where you feel you're breathing the most. And if you're anxious, you're probably breathing high up in your chest because that's where we go. We pull in the breath, we get panicky, and we get ready for fight, flight, freeze. But if you can put a hand there, that's usually a warming, comforting kind of thing. It's like saying, I'm here, to your own heart. And then maybe put your other hand on your belly and say, I care about you too. And the belly is another place where a lot of our feelings are processed. And just take some moments to let your breath settle. Sometimes also, you know that expression, waiting to exhale?
Mm-hmm.
So literally, the exhalation is what often brings us more relief. So we breathe in, and then we just keep trying to pull in breath to keep going, to let yourself take in a nice full inhalation And then there's a natural pause in the breath cycle. And then you can drop a little sound or sigh onto the breath. And to let yourself maybe exhale for a couple of counts longer than the inhale. Till all the air goes out. And then nature will provide you with new, fresh breath automatically. Breath just happens. We don't have to make it happen, but it's a deep gift from spirit, or whatever, however we want to call the creative force. But if we pay attention to it, it tends to respond to us. Or we can lie down on the rug, or we can take a moment and just close our eyes. We do authentic movement with a witness, because having another person there who is non-judgmental and is not going to interpret what you're doing, just see it and talk with you about it after. It allows us to go deeper, more deeply into the unconscious than we would tend to do working alone in our own living room.
Right.
But you can also set a timer on your cell phone for 5 minutes and have beautiful music playing at the end of 5 minutes.
Yep.
Or even beautiful music playing for the whole 5 minutes. And just let yourself roll on the floor or stretch and just notice what your body has to tell you that particular day.
Tina, I hate to interrupt, but we're really out of time.
Yeah.
Maybe we could pick up this talk about it more next time around, okay?
That would be great.
Tina Stromstedt is the owner at Souls Body Center in San Francisco. Tina, your website, please.
TinaStromstedt.com. That's TinaStromstedt.com.
Thank you so much, Tina. We'll talk to you next time, okay?
Thank you, Sal.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Broadcasting from the financial capital of the world, this is NBRFM, New York City.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.